Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, one of your hosts, Patrick Van Straten, and this week I'm joined by Sam Abasaki, podcast icon at this point, really. Probably the best podcast guest possible to get.
You're too nice. I think you're that nice because I didn't say too much before we started recording, so you thought, yeah, let me be nice to him. But I appreciate those kind words. I'd like to put you in the Hall of Fame of podcasters because honestly, some of the comments they someone even said last week, they said, as soon as Pat leaves FD, I'm unsubscribing.
Oh wow.
I was like, you don't like the rest of us, opinion. But you know, fair enough, I hear it, you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, look, the main reason I'm complimenting you is because last week you had a little bit of a meltdown because I introduced you like a normal person. And not
no,
like
it,
the
it
king.
It wasn't that. It's just I knew what was going to come. Henry, Pat, combination is always going to be you two versus me. But I'm not going to lie, I think I won. I think I won the arguments last week. That's just me being subjective. Mikey, I don't know if you watched the podcast, but I think some of my points were very strong.
I don't actually check out the podcast all that much, but actually I did actually watch a bit of it last week, and I thought your debates on Foden and Grealish were really good. I really enjoyed it.
All right, well,
like, thank you very much.
I feel like Pat did a good job of kind of switching between sides and stirring the pot, which is obviously a good, you know, bit of an essential in a podcast host, I think.
Thank you. Well, spicy. I should say that obviously Sam, as great as he is, only the second best guest that we've got on today. Because we've got Michael McCubbin joining us.
It's just a loving, yes, isn't it?
Come on.
Just a loving.
How you doing,
yeah, cheers,
Michael?
Yeah, no, good, thanks. Good, thanks. Yeah, needed a bit of a pick-me-up, obviously. Got best week to be a Man United fan. So the group chats have just been, slightly. I've been having to avoid them a little bit. But, you know, otherwise, all good.
I kind of wanted to ask you about that because, the problem that you have, you can avoid getting too much grief in the group chat if you don't really like give it to people that much. I mean, that said, I'm an Arsenal, we get it in the group chat regardless of what we've been saying. But like, because like Sam and Zach will go on and on about how great Chelsea are, when Chelsea have a bad result, it'll be really, really bad. Now, you don't really do that, but the problem you have is Joe does.
Yeah.
So when Man United have a bad result, everyone piles on Joe, and you've just then got to deal with like the emotional fallout of, everyone posting like Ollie memes and stuff. How has it been the last couple of days after? I mean, a result that, to be honest, I think all of us except for Joe did expect a pretty comfortable Liverpool victory, but I'm not sure anybody anticipated anything like that.
Nah, I mean it was mad, wasn't it? I think I predicted a draw actually, just because I thought there might have been some sort of reaction, and United have quite a good Old Trafford record against Liverpool. But yeah, obviously wasn't expecting that. I think it's just got to that point. Like usually I'm quite good at it, but when it gets to the point where you're humiliated on the pitch and everyone's just like, you know, yeah, it's reached a crescendo I think with United right now, and I think it's different than in seasons past where you've had like, you know, when Mourinho was doing badly, like it was kind of total apathy plus like I was just so pleased when he eventually left. It was almost like, you know, the downfall was kind of like, yeah, it was just great. I was celebrating so much, whereas this, it's going to be, you know, inevitably when Solskjaer goes, it's going to be, there's going to be a bit of regret about it and whatnot. And I think plus also the kind of general like optimism that's been in the last few years. I don't think there was ever that much optimism with Jose or with like Van Gaal or whatever. So there's this kind of come down from the optimism of last term and the last 18 months in general, plus everyone kind of piling in. But you know, it's just what you've got to deal with, isn't it? But it's funny you say that because like throughout my football supporting life, I've always been quite, I've always held back on like giving it too much. Much, you know, with a view to, oh, I won't get it back that much. So I always do take it a bit to heart when people actually give it to me. but I think I might have turned a corner now where when, you know, if and when United finally come good again and say Liverpool do badly, I'm going to start giving it in a very, very big way to people. You know, like putting say you know the next comprehensive victory Man United have over say Liverpool or someone, I will be doing very excited voice notes in group chats, you know, very loud voice notes So yeah, that's the takeaway. That's what I've decided I'm going to. That's who I've decided I'm going to become after the last week.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, Ollie was like, "This is rock bottom," and normally what happens at rock bottom is you totally reassess what you've been doing up until now. And so I'm glad that you have decided, like,
he's going to become a monster. That's what he wants.
I'm going to, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, exactly, you're going to become the Joker. That's what's happening now.
I'm going to transform. It's going to be great.
Well, obviously we've got.
Yeah, sorry.
Go on, man.
I was just going to say, I'm just going to get. Yeah, just going to get Joe to take me under his wing, essentially, in that sense.
No, he's like genuinely.
Joe's been in hiding slightly.
Fully deranged.
Yeah, he's not really saying much. Joe's not really saying much about the whole, like, Ole situation. I see him saying a few two-pointers here and there, but Mikey, you were on that episode that we did of Team Talk, yeah, of when I posed the question of if Ole is good enough for the United job. And he was quite confident that he was taking United in the right direction. A few deluded comments, and he won that point. And I was thinking, I don't really know if any other United fan that watches United week in, week out would agree that Ole is the man for the job. And I think after that Liverpool game, he's still not really said it. He's kind of like, he's kind of said a few things here and there, like, questioning the timing or the time that they're giving him. But he's not actually said, like, Ole out. And I hear it, you know, he wants to show loyalty, but at the same time, you just got to be honest, innit?
Yeah, I think people are, you know, slightly in denial. I think, to be honest, I think the points that Joe made in that episode, I think, were fine. I kind of agree with most of them. I think, you know, Ollie has, you know, has on the whole improved the side. But I think Joe, I think he did stop short of ever saying that Ollie was capable of winning the Premier League title. And for me, at least for me, that's always been in the back of my mind. I've never really thought he's been capable of winning a Premier League title. And I think fans who did think that were being overly optimistic, personally. For me, it was never about, you know, winning the Premier League with Ollie. He was always seen as a bit of a stopgap, I guess, in some ways. But yeah, so in that sense, I do agree with him. But yeah, I think he was probably a little bit coy in that sense as well.
That's the weird thing about Ollie, right? Because, like, I've kind of defended him at different points in his time at Man United, because I think Man United have generally been pretty good under him. Like, they certainly deserve to make the Champions League under him. Like, but it's but I don't know. Like, I think that there's this weird disconnection, isn't there, between fans and the club, where I feel like fans have thought of him, like you said, as a sort of glorified stopgap. They're like, Ollie is a guy who, like, rebuilds the morale in the side, like, kind of gets the team going again, and then probably the next coach is the guy who comes in and wins trophies. Whereas the club have sort of acted for quite a long time now as if they're like, no, that we think that will be Ollie, or at least we don't care enough to, like, get rid of him to bring somebody in who is going to win trophies. Because they could have got Tuchel or Pochettino, you know, like, they could have done different things at different points. I guess the natural question where we should go from here is, what do you think the biggest problem is in this side at the moment, McCubs? Because we're going to go through some of the leading candidates to replace Ollie, because frankly, I think that all of us assume at this point that whether it's in the next month or whether it's at the end of the season, like, his time at Man United is probably drawing to a close.
Yeah.
He's gone. There you go, you heard it first from Sam. Sam's been a Chelsea fan for so long that he's just like, oh, there's, like, the slightest problem. Oh, there's, like, drizzle over Stamford Bridge. They're going to sack the manager. Like, but I guess what is the biggest problem? Because obviously we've talked about, you know, like, we talked about the Ronaldo pressing thing that was kind of doing the rounds. We've talked about defensive midfield. But when you are hiring the next manager of Man United, what do you want them to tell you? What do you want them to say, this is my aim? Or if Ollie is, like, fighting to save his job now and he came into the board, if you said to him, what are you going to do to fix this situation? What would you be hoping to hear?
I think personally what I want from Ollie in the next few weeks is to completely change up the team. Not in terms of personnel necessarily, but tactically. I want to see a change of shape, and I want to see a completely new approach to games, or at least a reversion to a kind of successful approaches to games that we've had in the past, which we've not really seen this season, at least not in the big games. So yeah, for me, that's what I'd want to see. I think it is very much a tactical thing. And yeah, we've spoken a lot about the pressing. We've spoken a lot about the huge gaps that have been left for the kind of midfield and defence to deal with in the last couple of weeks. But I think it really does come down to that. It's Ollie's kind of, I guess naivety to an extent, but his limits as a tactician have been laid bare in such a humiliating way in the last 2 weeks that I think ultimately that's where the problem lies, and that's where the biggest reaction needs to be, because the squad isn't a problem. The squad still, like him as a manager as well. But the big doubt that they do have is his tactics. And I think they don't seem to be fully on board with them, or at least they don't seem to have confidence that he'll be able to switch things up. So in terms of the first question, what would you want the new manager to kind of say? Yeah, I think that's essential, really, for whichever manager's coming in, because that's not what United have had for years and years now, as a manager who tactically is up to standard with the best in the world. Like, you can say what you want about Jose Mourinho's kind of reputation when he was signed as a United manager, but he was already falling behind the best in the world when he was hired. Van Gaal was, a maverick, but again, his best days were behind him. Like, yeah, you need to have a manager who can come in and, put on a real presentation, of cutting edge tactical vision, essentially, for United to follow for years to come. That's what is needed, and that's what Ollie always lacked to an extent, but he covered that up by keeping players happy, letting them express themselves, doing well in the big games as well against much better managers than him, being able to catch Pep teams and Pochettino teams on the break. And his record against Man City, for example, is still excellent. So I think that was where he was always able to cover himself. Obviously, the recruitment's been good as well in the last 2 years, more or less. So there are a number of factors, with Ollie's tenure, which, I think made up for his lack of tactical nous, at least in terms of on a consistent week-to-week basis. Mm. But now that's been laid bare, and I think once it's been laid bare like this, there's just no going back from it, and it's very clear that that's what's needed. And that's and in some ways that's a good thing. Like I'd rather have that, have something that's a very clear problem like that, rather than at the end of Van Gaal or at the end of Mourinho, where it was like there are so many different things that needed to be changed. In those instances, it just felt like the club was so far off its ambitions, whereas now there is a very, very capable squad in place, and all it needs really is an incredibly capable manager to come in and reshape it in their vision.
I mean, I agree about this just complete lack of clarity that there is at Man United at the moment. They'll play a high line, but they won't really press. It's almost like now we've got these kind of relatively rangy defenders, we're going to just push them up the pitch regardless of whether we've got a plan to defend them. To illustrate your point about pressing, in this particular match, obviously this is exacerbated by United ending the game down to 10 men, but when you look at passes per defensive action, obviously we've talked about this before, it's how often your team attempts a tackle, how many passes it takes of the opponents before they face a tackle. For Liverpool, this was 8. Liverpool were trying to tackle United every 8 passes United made. For Man United, it was 60. Every mental. 60 passes Liverpool made. So it was hugely, wow. I guess, kind of passive.
I think Liverpool made more clearances in that game than United did. That's how unactive we were defensively. We weren't even making clearances. So
yeah, though that said, Man United were quite easily getting into the final third, I thought, and then kind of didn't really know what to do when they got there. They had that Bruno chance early on, which wasn't quite as big as it looked, but they were able to get there. I think that was one of the shocking things, that Liverpool didn't even play that well, really, and were able to do this. But I think this was, in a way, it certainly wasn't a freak result. Like, I think that this lays bare the issues that have been there for a while, certainly all this season, right? That there's just no particular idea of what this team should be doing. Sam, we haven't forgotten about you. I'm going to come to you because the name that's being spoken about the most in the media at the moment, and this guy would give the club a very clear tactical blueprint, is Antonio Conte. Now, obviously, you've seen him up close as a Chelsea fan. You've also seen him implode a little bit as a Chelsea fan. How would you feel about him going to Man United? Do you think he's the right fit for them? What would you anticipate the problems being with Conte going? Or do you think it's just a no-brainer? Get him in immediately.
First of all, I think when his situation at Chelsea was kind of sad, just in terms of the fact that he did what he came in to do, obviously winning the league and then obviously winning the FA Cup the season after without the board backing him as much as he wanted them to. But I think if we had backed him to the level that he wanted, he would have stayed and he would have been happy. But once he realised that our targets and his targets didn't align, that kind of got him upset. And he's always had a history of that. Like, we saw the way he left Inter because of the fact that they wasn't going to invest into the team the way that he wanted to. So I think he's a world-class manager. I think United are almost scared. I feel like they're worried to get a manager that hasn't got the United heritage, because I honestly think that's the only thing that they're holding on to right now. That's why Ole's getting an opportunity to have these next three games, even though if it was a Jose Mourinho or Van Gaal, they would not get that opportunity. And I genuinely think it's because he used to play for the club. And it doesn't really make sense to me, because if they've signed the players that they've got, it's kind of similar to when Lampard signed the players that he had and the pressure increased. Obviously, that happens when you've got a better team. And because they didn't know if he would be able to react positively in the way that they another manager could, like, say, a Pep or a Tuchel or someone that's got more experience, that's why they had to let him go. And I think this exact same situation as Ole. Like, he might be able to turn it around, but the fact that his history doesn't show that he can, I would understand, and I'm sure he would understand that the club can't move forward with him. But in terms of Conte, I think Conte, I don't think he suits United that much, just because the way United have kind of become the club that they are now. And I saw some quotes, I don't know if they're true or not, but it was Conte talking about the way the club is run in terms of the signings that they make, the fact that a lot of the signings, for example, like Sanchez, Pogba, even Ronaldo of late, are all about the marketing of Manchester United, how well it would do for the club in terms of off the field. Do you know what I mean? But on the field, obviously Ronaldo's always going to score goals, but was that the signing that they needed to, you know, improve their squad that much? Was goals a thing that they were really struggling with? I don't think they were. So obviously that could be seen as a mistake. And I think Conte is the type of manager that will come in and say that, I don't want a Ronaldo. And then you'll see a headline of Conte saying, yeah, he don't want Ronaldo. And then he's going against the board. And then that situation's happening again. So I think that side is always going to be a worry. But in terms of what he can bring to the club, I think a three at the back could suit United. We've seen Shaw go centre-back for England. We've seen Varane go in a back three. You've seen Maguire, how well he done for England as well when they went into a back three. They've got wing-backs in Telles, who's not that great defensively, but going forward, he's all right. Wan-Bissaka as well. He can improve going forward, but he's got much better this season. And defensively, he hasn't looked as good as we thought he was, and we remember him from his Palace days. But I think they need clear instructions and they need structure, and I don't think with Ole they get that. I think Ole is more on the side of, you're playing for Manchester United, so remember the club that you're playing for. The heritage of this club is everything to you. Like, I'm surprised he didn't come after the game, because he's done it so many times after big losses about they forgot who they were playing for, this is the biggest club in the world and all of these things, all of that and all of that. And it's just like, bro, tell us how you lost the game. Tell us tell us what tactics you got wrong. Tell us how you're going to improve the next game. Not just about the personality of the team or the personality of certain players. Like I said it last week, when we lose a game or we draw a game that we shouldn't lose or draw, you can see Tuchel comes out and he says, you know what, we got him wrong in this place, we got it wrong here, but we're going to go back to the training ground and sort these things out. Yeah. When I listen to Ole, I don't get any of that. I just hear a man that is like a motivational speaker that is trying to lift the morale or trying to just embed the United heritage of we were always used to winning things. And I hear it to a certain extent when let's say after Jose and you've lacked that motivation to play for the club and the morale was down. But now you're like, what, how many years in? You haven't won a trophy. You had a season when you lost multiple semi-finals. You got to a final that you should have won and you lost. You've started a season with you've signed two world-class players and a top-class rising winger that you haven't been able to get. Obviously, Varane has played well. Ronaldo's played well to a certain extent. But Sancho, you haven't got the best out of him yet. And other players as well. Bruno's not playing as well as we're used to. So there's obviously something going wrong. It's either he's lost the players or they just deeps. Like, if we're going to get to the next level, we can't have this man as our manager. So I think Conte would be a good, like, quick replacement. We know that he can literally come into a team, fix it up in a few months and be challenging for especially that the Premier League. I don't, in cup competition, he doesn't do that great, but the Premier League, to be in and around that conversation, I think that that would be a good appointment. But I just don't see Conte coming to a club like United just because he's so traditional. He strikes me as like similar to the Klopp situation.
What do you mean?
When, like, in terms of, you remember when Klopp, before he went to Liverpool, yeah, I think he had a choice. Or it was in and around the time where he could have gone to United as well, or someone else. I can't remember who it was. But he said that he chose Liverpool because of the traditions and they're just strictly on football. It's none of the, like, added marketing or we want the club to look like this in the world. Like, no, we want the team to be good. We want to build a team that can challenge for all the titles. I think with United, they've shown with some of their signings that they're not necessarily... Like, they obviously want to get back to their best, but signings like Ronaldo, Sanchez of old, and Van der Beek, for example, there's just no structure. It just doesn't make sense to me, innit? But I don't know. I think Conte could do a good job, but I think they will have to reassure him that they are backing him. They're getting rid of their mindset of this United heritage stuff, and they just want him to come in and win stuff, innit?
See, I feel kind of completely the opposite way. Like, all the stuff that you said there makes me think Conte's a better fit in a way. Like, I think the fact that, like, they need direction with some of their signings and, like, for their squad to be, like, pretty brutally, like, recomposed, I think Conte will think, great, I'm gonna have, like, the ability to pretty much do what I want. Nobody's gonna tell me not to spend money because United have tons of money to spend and they know that the problems are bad. And also, one of the best things that I think about Conte, and I think you could also say this of Zidane, I'm not sure who else on the kind of managerial shortlist this would apply to, I think he would be able to stand up to the pressure, you know, from, like, this enormous raft of ex-United players in the media who are constantly talking about the players and the club and everything about them. Like, I mean, after the game, like, Paul Scholes was talking about how, like, Pogba is apparently disrespectful because he got sent off. Like, I mean, he was trying to win the ball at the time. And I was like, that's weird. Like, if getting a red card makes you disrespectful to your teammates, then Paul Scholes was one of the most disrespectful teammates of the 2000s. Because I used to see that guy get sent off for horrific challenges constantly. Like, yeah. It's just not how it works. It's like, if Pogba isn't putting the effort in, then everyone's cross. If he is putting the effort in, then he's being an idiot. I don't know, man.
But that's so, the thing. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Alonso, didn't he, Paul Scholes? I remember that one. Do you remember that one? Tried to throw Xabi Alonso.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. So it's just like, no, I just think that, like, you know, you're running around, like, your blood is up, like, you're frustrated. Like, I didn't... The Pogba thing's a bit of bad luck. Like, he's not being, like... He's not trying to break someone's leg. Like, it's the kind of thing that you do in football matches, and then as soon as you do it, you're like, oh my God, that was so stupid.
It was silly. Yeah. He was in a silly position, and he took his eye off what was going on, and then went for it. Yeah, it was really stupid, and it was a player who wasn't really 100% in the game, but nevertheless, like, yeah, it wasn't disrespectful.
Yeah, like, if Rashford did it, or, like, then I don't think anyone would be...
I don't think
everyone would be like, oh my God, well, he's like... Oh, this is, like, disrespectful of him. They'd be like, you know what? He's, like, playing for the badge and his blood was up and it was stupid. But, like, they don't react to these. You know, when it's, like, a Xhaka or a Pogba, it's really easy to just be like, this guy's an idiot. And when it's, like, somebody else, like, like, when it's Harry Kane or whatever, everyone's like, oh, you know, Harry Kane, he just plays for the badge, doesn't he? But anyway, like, I guess that, like, to be honest with you, I think some of the tactical issues, the formation issues with Conte are a bit overstated. I don't see in Conte, like, there's this idea that Conte just will play like 3-5-2 or something and will refuse to do anything else. And I don't think that's the way that a lot of managers are these days. You know, like some of them want to play the same formation they want to play, but I think Conte will find something that works. Like, let's not forget, at Chelsea, he started with a 4-3-3. He'd have probably stayed with the 4-3-3 if it had worked. It just didn't. So he went to the three at the back. Like, his aim wasn't always to go to a three at the back necessarily. So I think with United, he could easily come in and find a fix with what they've got. But McCubs, we were talking off camera before we started, and I know that you might have a little preference here. And I do think that the guy that you would maybe like to take over United probably does fit the personnel a little bit better and would maybe deal with the issue Sam has raised of the fact that they're getting literally nothing out of Jadon Sancho right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well what Sam was saying about Ollie's interviews. I was actually talking to Adam Templeman last week on his pod about specifically that. And I think that's something, as a United fan, I find a bit disheartening when you see, you know, Klopp, Tuchel and Guardiola in particular kind of breaking down, even like managers like Brendan Rodgers as well, like breaking down where they've gone wrong in games and stuff. You get the impression, you know, when you watch them, it's like, this person is like so much more intelligent than me, and there are only a very few people in the world who could do that job. Yeah, and with Solskjaer, although I think he is very intelligent, he's worked, you know, multiple jobs, and he's you know, won trophies and work, you know, has you know, improved multiple players. I don't get that impression when I hear him break down, you know, problems and stuff in games. And leading on from that, Mauricio Pochettino is definitely someone who, when you speak to him, or not speak to him, I've never spoken to him, but when you hear him and when you hear from people who've spoken to him as well, like, the impression is just of someone who is, you know, just really, really has their finger on the pulse. And in terms of like a man manager, I really don't think there are many better out there than Pochettino. As a tactician, there definitely aren't many better out there. And yeah, I mean, for a long time, I've wanted him. Like pretty much ever since Mourinho got sacked, and even before then. And the club have as well. Like, I mean, the original plan when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was hired was that he would be, you know, he would see out the season, and then United would make a big move for Pochettino in the summer of 2019. Obviously, he was only sacked a few months later. I think if United had made a big play for him that summer, I think his head probably would have been turned. I think he was kind of feeling like his project at Tottenham had already was kind of coming to a close anyway, was at least meeting a point where it could come to an easy close, considering the kind of squad turnover that was needed after that. And then even last year, you know, United were reportedly sounding out Pochettino. Again, this was before he got hired by PSG, obviously before Thomas Tuchel got sacked by PSG. And then I think it was in quite a difficult period as well. You know, United had an even, or by points at least, had an even worse start to last season than they did this year. So, but then Ollie turned it around in the kind of November, December time. I think went, you know, 10 to 15 games unbeaten. And, you know, United ended up having a relatively successful season. So I think Pochettino even now will be in the back of the minds of the United ownership. Obviously, there's going to be a switchover between Ed Woodward and Richard Arnold, you know, in the new year as chief executive. But I think he'll be kind of more of the same. So I don't think there's going to be much of a change in terms of the club's thinking kind of long term in terms of who they want. I think Pochettino will always be on their radar. And, you know, Pochettino isn't the most popular figure at PSG at the moment. I know that there's a portion of fans who aren't particularly happy with him. He hasn't got the best out of that front line at the moment, which is, you know, an enviable task in many ways because they are brilliant players. But, you know, the two of them are not, you know, at their peak anymore. And Mbappe is still, you know, actually, you know, is not at his peak yet. So, and maybe they just don't complement each other as much as people thought they would, etc., etc. So I think there is pressure on him in his job at the moment. I think he'll, you know, I back him to ride it out at least till the end of the season. But I think there is a possibility there for United. And I think, yeah, if United want a good short-term option, I think Antonio Conte is at 100% the best short-term option. And I've been weighing it up in my mind a little bit. thinking about, oh, you know, is that what United really need? Is someone, do we really need someone who will probably only last 2 years maximum? But at the same time, like, Antonio Conte does, you know, does get results and does improve teams. And if in those 2 years he improves the team and gets the team challenging properly for silverware, and especially gets them challenging for the Premier League, then I don't really see that many downsides. And I agree. I think that was something I was getting hung up on before, was the formation and things like that, and where the players would work. And again, I think, yeah, you have to look back at kind of even his early Juventus days when he was using four at the back. I think you'd have to back him. The main worry would be, you know, whether he comes in and he's like, oh, I need to completely turn over this squad. I don't think he would, but that is always a little bit of a worry, because I think the squad there is, you know, is one or two players away from being, you know, big challengers. So that would be my one worry with Conte. But in terms of, you know, his credentials, he's right up there. But I think if United were to hire him, I think it would have to be something like, I think they'd have to only give him like a 2 year contract, because I think the big fear from United, I feel like they don't want to ever have that situation where they're paying a manager like £20 million to leave. Like, that's obviously what happened with Mourinho. I think Van Gaal got a pretty big payout, if I'm not mistaken, as well. I don't think Solskjaer necessarily would, because I don't think he's on anywhere near the kind of wages that Mourinho was on. But nevertheless, I think that's always a fear with the United hierarchy, because I think that's just a bit of a, I don't know, like, especially since Mourinho, Mourinho was a bit of a burn. And I think ever since then, they've been, I guess, hesitant to go for a similar character who could upset the apple cart a bit. And I think actually more so than Ollie being like a United club legend and everything, I think the thing that's, you know, kept him going at times when maybe, you know, results weren't going so well or whatever, was that assurance that this is a manager who's never going to come out and criticise the ownership publicly and things like that, is never going to kick up a huge fuss when things don't go his way. And obviously Conte, like Sam was saying, like, has a track record of that. So I can see why that would be a turnoff for the United hierarchy. But I think, like, yeah, he's a short-term manager, but like, United don't have, like, we shouldn't be tied to this idea that a long-term manager is the only way, because if that manager isn't available, then, you know, it's impossible. And I think personally, Pochettino, you know, someone like Pochettino or Erik ten Hag are those guys, but they're not available right now. So you either have to ride out the season with Solskjaer to attempt to get them, or do you fix the problem here and now? And, you know, if things don't suddenly drastically improve in the next 2 weeks, then there is a huge problem, you know, at the club, in terms of results, in terms of performances, in terms of the players' faith in the manager. Like, you can't let that fire burn for too long. So I think in that sense, I think, yeah, Conte is the clear candidate right now.
Yeah, he gets the team taken seriously again. I mean, like, it's interesting what you're saying, though, about, like, what might be the priorities of the club hierarchy, because I think that this, again, this issue of, like, the fans and the club maybe wanting different things, like, it's all over this conversation. Like, you've seen a lot of people saying, oh, well, if Conte comes in, what's going to happen to Mason Greenwood? And I think, well, Mason Greenwood isn't really being used right anyway. Like, Mason Greenwood is not a winger. Like, he's not creative. He's an okay dribbler. But
I mean, the club signed Ronaldo in the summer. Like, that was...
Exactly.
Wasn't down to Antonio Conte.
And to be fair, fans were delighted about that. But fundamentally, like, they knew Ronaldo was basically going to demand to play every minute. And if they weren't willing to say to him, look, the manager's going to bench you sometimes because we need to develop this young star who, in a couple of years, is probably going to be our starting centre forward. Like... That's a really big problem for the future planning. And if I were coming in as the coach, I'd be like, I want to know that if I bench Ronaldo and he kicks up a fuss, you're going to back me. Because, like, because I'm not going to do it just like because I feel like it. I'm going to do it so that I could play Greenwood up front, who is ultimately going to be a centre forward. Like, he's a striker. That is what he is. Like, and It's a much better, and in 5 years' time, Ronaldo's going to be retired, but Greenwood won't. Greenwood could be one of the best strikers in the world if you develop him right. So I don't know, like there are things like that where I think, is this being taken into account? Like I see fans talking about it, but I'm not sure the club gives a shit in any like real way. Anyway, like I think that something that would be quite fun, given that you've mentioned a few of the names there, is for us to go through just a few of the names on the managerial list with the shortest odds, and for you guys to give me a mark out of 10, how good you think this appointment would be. We'll put Conte aside and we'll start at number 2. Sam, I'm going to come to you first. Brendan Rodgers, out of 10, how good would this appointment be for Man United?
8. First number that came to my mind was 8. Yeah. I think Brendan wow. Rodgers is a very good manager, and I think that if he had a better squad, not saying that Leicester squad is the worst, but he's proven that he can challenge for titles. He's proven that he can improve youngsters. Yes, come on, man. He challenged for a title with Liverpool. He's been challenging for top four with Leicester for the last two seasons. Obviously, he's missed out. He's fallen short a few times, but he's still being in that conversation. If he now goes to a team like United, I think he would definitely improve their squad. And we're talking about him improving what Ole's doing. So the bar's not that high. Do you know what I mean? So if he came in, I honestly think that he would do quite well, especially like he won the FA Cup last year. Like that was a good achievement for that Leicester squad, and I think United haven't won a trophy in what, 5 years now. So if they get a manager like him who's used to winning trophies, who's been in those crucial games that's coming down to the last game of the season and stuff, I think Brendan would do well, man.
Wow. What an endorsement. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I think with Rodgers, I think one of the difficult things with Rodgers is just the embarrassment factor.
How do you mean?
He is just a bit of a joke. Like, I agree. I think he is a very good manager. I think one of the things that holds him back is his personality. Like, I think he's... Yeah, I think he thinks he's the shit. And he makes very clear all the time that he's the shit. And that, like, I do think that, like, he's...
Nah,
he's not as bad as Ole because he's a good tactician.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not as bad as Ole because he's a good tactician, but he is one of those guys, I think, who comes out and blames players sometimes. McCubbs, what do you think of this one?
Yeah, I'd probably go... I think it's hard. Former Liverpool manager. So I think that just always marks him down. And I think like that's... like yeah. I mean, but on a less kind of realistic basis, yeah, I'd say 5-6. I think, yeah, tactically... big improvement. Whether he could manage that squad is a different matter because I don't think he has really had to manage a squad like United's before. But yeah, I'd back him to improve the team in terms of the tactical vision and everything. I do think he's I think he has been slightly underrated over the years. But yeah, I can't see past his Liverpool past, unfortunately. I just don't think, yeah, culturally it just doesn't work.
I think in some ways this is like not that difficult a job, like in the sense that like if you came in as a manager and you've got like the January window coming up and you were like, I'm insisting that we go and overspend to get in a defensive midfielder, like when we overspent to get in Bruno Fernandes, we just have to pay like 15, 20 mil over the odds to get a quality defensive midfielder. I think the team will automatically be so much better.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like just play a sensible system, like put in a DM, they'll look so much better and everyone will be like, this guy's a genius. And you're like, nah, actually, like, there was just this enormous hole in the squad that can be solved. But let's do a couple more names. Sam, Zinedine Zidane.
I don't really feel this one, you know. I'm not really feeling the Zidane.
He's exactly the sort. I imagine you being Zidane's biggest fan.
I like Zidane. You're just that kind of guy. Yeah. But I think he's more suited to PSG. I think he's more suited to PSG than United right now.
Oh.
And I don't like. I've not really followed Zidane's journey in terms of like his tactics. Every time I watch, every time I watched Real Madrid play. Yeah, they had the star factor. Do you know what I mean? Ronaldo saved him a few times, but even after, he was able to just like get the best out of certain players that had been counted out like seasons before. But I think with United, they really just need clear tactics and they need clear direction. Like they need a tactician to come in. And I don't think Zidane strikes me as like a like a proper tactician. I think they, like, that's why I would rate Brendan higher than him. So I'd say a 6. I'd say 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, McCubs? Like, because I think that towards when Zidane returned to Real Madrid, I think that he did show more tactical ability than we saw before. But I agree. Like, I mean, during that three-peat run, I remember, like, constantly getting shit because he kept winning the Champions League. And I kept saying, I don't really see it. Like, they were weirdly, like, passive defensively and, like, basically relied on Sergio Ramos just doing, like, elite all the time. And I don't know. I didn't look at them and think, like, I see what this team is. What do you think, McCubbin? Because, like, from that point of view, he doesn't really fit your criterion, right, of clear tactical vision necessarily.
Yeah, no, for sure not. And actually, weirdly, like, there was a point in the last few weeks where I was like, oh, maybe he's a better shout than Conte just because, you know, he's managed that Real Madrid dressing room. He's, you know, he is a very good man manager in that sense. But yeah, I think I'd probably say like 5 or 6, just because. Yeah, like in that, it's interesting actually. I was reading about it the other day. Like in that kind of period, in that first 3 years that he was at Madrid, he even said afterwards, like, if things were going wrong in games, he'd just let the players manage themselves.
Yeah, United can't do that. Right?
he trusted those players to do so, and you could trust those players because those players had, you know, those players had learnt under, you know, Mourinho at his peak. They'd learnt under Ancelotti. You know, and they were the best, like, you know, arguably the best squad in the world at the time. Like they were a truly, truly amazing starting 11. And, you know, full of leadership. And I don't think United necessarily lacks leadership on the field, but it certainly lacks players who have studied under elite managers. In that sense, this team is just not ready to do those kind of things. Zidane has probably learned a lot as a manager as well in the last few years. And so in that sense, maybe we're being a little bit unfair on him. But yeah, he's far from a safe bet, I think. And also, I don't think he even wants it that much.
I think he's waiting for the PSG. I think he's waiting for the PSG role.
PSG or France, isn't he? Yeah.
I think he can't be asked to learn English. That's all it is. He just can't be asked to learn English. He's like, I speak French, I speak Spanish, I speak Italian. That'll do.
Mm.
Fair enough, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but like, come on. Put some effort in. Okay, we'll just do two more because these are the last two names before we get into the Bobby Martinez. Cristiano Ronaldo, apparently, is future Man United manager. Before we get into that zone, these are the last two serious names in my view. The first one is Erik ten Hag. He's at 11-1, apparently. Sam, what do you think of him? Like, I know that he's not, you know, somebody who's, like, previously managed Chelsea, which is something that you like. I know he's not someone who's won a trophy in England, which is another thing you like. He's basically not necessarily football Twitter friendly. But what do you think about him? Do you think he makes sense for this team? Because obviously, experience, like, developing young players, speaks English, has worked with Donny van der Beek before, whatever that counts for. and his team certainly have... I mean, like, look, there are lots of great players at Ajax, but I do think they've outperformed their talent level on the European stage consistently. So what do you think? Would this make sense for you?
I think Ten Hag is actually a really good manager, and you've seen it, like, over the last few years, how Ajax fare in, like, the Champions League. But the only thing that I have with Ajax is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, I don't know if United are in that position to take a risk on a manager that doesn't know the type of pressure you come under when you're under the lights of the Theatre of Dreams. That, do you know what I mean? Because the reality is, he's doing well at Ajax, and they sell their best players, and then they bring through youngsters, or they get other youngsters, and he almost, like, follows the same formula to, you know, get them to perform to that level, and it's been working for him, and I've been interested to see if it would work in, like, the Premier League or in another league. But I think with United right now, they need a manager that's nothing to do with the Eredivisie in it, because I don't watch it as consistently, but the reality is it's just not the levels of the Premier League or La Liga or Ligue 1 or Bundesliga. Do you know what I mean? So I think for him to come into this job, I'm not saying that I think he could do all right, but I think there's just a risk of him not maybe the pressure just getting to him. Do you know what I mean? Because I think United is probably the hardest job to walk into right now in the world, because of the fact that they haven't won trophies in so many years, the fact that they've got the squad so everyone knows that they should be automatically challenging for the biggest trophies, and they've got personalities that you have to deal with as well. I don't know if he has to deal with it as much at Ajax, that and those players that would be so upset if they're not starting. Like, it just seems very friendly over there, like, and that might be not knowing too much about the dynamic in that league. But I think from what I've seen, I think he's a good manager, but I think he would be a risk. So I'd say 5-6 again. 5-6 again.
I think that's a really good point. Like, I think, we talk about it's great when managers develop young players, but obviously if you've got a young squad, then you also probably don't face that many challenges to your authority in the same way you do when you're, like, coming into a team full of established superstars like Pogba, like Varane, like Ronaldo. What do you think, McCubs? Like, because this is, you're talking about Conte as a short-term option. This is definitely a longer-term option. And I mean, his side play in a certain way. They play exciting football. There are definitely some players there where you'd think, you know what? Like Rashford, Greenwood, Sancho, even Bruno. Like, this could be the manager for them. Like, he could really develop something special with those guys. But Sam's absolutely right. You know, how's he going to deal with that step up? Because Ajax might be the biggest club in the Netherlands, but Man United are one of the biggest clubs in the world.
Yeah, I think that's always going to be a bit of a worry when you hire a manager like that. But equally, like, I don't know, for me, yeah, he's like second choice to Poch. So I'd give him like an 8. And
Worth.
Yeah, I'm happy to take a risk on like one of the best. You know, one of the best. Yeah, you know, he is one of the best managers in Europe. Like, there's no getting around that. And okay, yeah, like, he's not managed a top club, but like, I mean, he's watched firsthand Pep Guardiola at Bayern Munich. Okay, Bayern Munich actually isn't on the same level of high pressure as United, but they are one of the biggest clubs in the world. You know, he's not an idiot. Like, it's not like he's like 39 years old and he's just come in, and he's, you know, like, he's 51 years old, Erik ten Hag. He's been in the game for a long time, and he's proven that he is like one of the best tacticians around, and with a squad that has been, you know, there's been a high turnover in it. I don't think the talent level in this Ajax team is on the level that it was in 2018-19, and yet they're getting the same kind of results that 2018-19 team did. They're scoring at a similar rate. So, like, and I was looking it up earlier, actually. This Ajax team, in terms of market value, would rank 12th in the Premier League. But personally, I think this Ajax team would be challenging for, like, top six in the Premier League if they were contesting it. And I think that goes to show kind of just how much... you know, he gets out of this side. And, you know, if he was at a side like United, who are like, ranking the top three or four for market value in world football, and also have some incredible young talent, namely, someone like Jadon Sancho, who'd be, you know, I think he'd, it would be a dream to see him and a manager like Ten Hag working together, and, you know, Greenwood, etc. I think he'd be a great appointment. I really think he'd be a great appointment. And yeah, okay, the problems with like older players and whatnot, that is a thing. Like, that certainly is a thing. But equally, what's not to say that he can't possess the same kind of man management what's to say he can't kind of put forward the same kind of management that kind of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has? You know, like, he's been all right. He's a relatively inexperienced manager at the top level. Okay, he's got the kind of club legend status, etc. But like, Ten Hag has the authority of, you know, having taken Ajax to a Champions League semi-final, probably should have taken them to a final. He's beaten Madrid. He's spanked Madrid at the Bernabeu. Like, this is a serious, serious manager. And I think he does hold that kind of authority. And he's just, like, he is so ready for an elite club, in my opinion. Maybe it wouldn't work out, but I would back the club on that, because I think the club hasn't made a truly ballsy decision on a manager like that. You know, if they had the same kind of thinking, like if they possessed that kind of thinking a few years ago, they might have got Pochettino in before Tottenham signed him up. When Moyes, you know, after Moyes, like that could have happened, and that probably would have worked out a lot better. So yeah, I think I would absolutely back that.
Nice. Well, I think that's relatively conclusive. Like it seems that just going off your scores, I guess that Ten Hag and Rodgers are like fairly evenly matched there as second choice, I suppose, after Pochettino. It's a really interesting grab bag, and like there are so many like diverging futures for Man United here. But the nice thing is that all these guys on the shortlist are, whatever the other concerns might be about them, I'd say they're all better tacticians than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Yeah. Even though I don't particularly want to like do the man down, like I think he's had a really difficult job, and I think at different points like he's kind of done okay with the team. But it's very similar to the Lampard situation, right? Which is that Lampard's Chelsea were actually pretty decent, but then they added more talent and stuff, and they had a season together, and they didn't really get any better. Like they kept not getting better. And this is the same thing with like Solskjaer. Like they've added a bunch of talent this summer, but not only have they not got better, they've actually got a bit worse. And I don't think it's all just Ronaldo. Like if Ronaldo was benched next week, would Man United suddenly go back to as good as they were last season?
But
like,
you know,
I'm not
that,
really convinced.
But you know what I was gonna say? Yeah, it's so funny, yeah. Because you know in this with the whole United situation, and you mentioned earlier about how Scholes was getting onto Pogba for getting the red card, yeah. There was a point where Pogba used to get stick for everything that went wrong at Manchester United, yeah, because he was the best player in the squad now, yeah. And it's so interesting to see, like, let's say a Varane has come in, Bruno Fernandes and Sancho and Ronaldo, obviously, yeah. But none of these guys, like, it's like now that they've got other world-class players, everyone's now admitting that Ole was the problem. But it was so clear to see from even, like, I know that he kind of overperformed last season, coming second and getting to the final of the Europa League, yeah. But I almost think that that would have been a nice point for him to be like, you know what, this is me, innit? Like, the reality is if we the other teams around us are going to be improving. I think someone even mentioned it on Twitter. You know when, what's his name now? He managed AC Milan and he was an ex-player, Gattuso. So Gattuso, when he left, it was almost like a mutual between both club and himself. He was like, you know what? It's not about the money. I just can't take... He basically said, I can't take AC Milan any further, yeah? And I think it's something that Ole needs to consider, because the reality is, if he leaves now, or even whenever he leaves, he's going to have to think about what he's going to do next, innit? I don't think he's going to get another top job in any other top six club in the Premier League. I don't think that would work. And maybe in the Bundesliga, he could get like a top six or seven job there. But he's not really like... that's what I'm saying. I'm not even sure about that. But he's definitely like... He got this job off of the back of being a United legend and being a nice guy, yeah? And he's seen that it's not worked. And it's genuinely unfortunate. But I think now the club just need to just be ruthless and just say, you know what, we need to win something this season. We haven't won for so many years. We can't blame the players anymore. Pogba's on his last 12 months of his contract. You don't want that to run down and then he's leaving. Like, you want to genuinely build something. And what they were building, the excitement that United fans had at the beginning of the season has gone in like how many weeks? Because you can see that there's no sense of direction. Every player's coming out and saying... Maguire's come out saying they don't know what they're doing. Pogba's come out and saying they don't know what they're doing. Then Ole's just coming out and saying that he's just not happy. Like, I think they just need to do something quickly, because the longer it drags out, the harder it's going to be to come back from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real hole they find themselves in. And I've got to be honest, I'm really enjoying
it. Yeah, I'm enjoying it, though. I'm enjoying it as well. Don't get it twisted.
The game at the weekend, oh my God. Like, when the Ronaldo goal got chalked off for offside.
That was a good goal as well.
Oh my God. The only thing that could have made it better is if Ronaldo got sent off. Like, what he did to Curtis Jones was mad, though.
That when he
yep. I don't think he got sent off. I don't think he could have complained if he was sent off. But I also don't think it was, like, an absolutely stonewall red card. But he was being such a dick about it. And then... Then Virgil van Dijk came over and I was like, oh, Ronaldo doesn't want any of this at all. Like, van Dijk is towering over him. Oh, it was so good, man. Andy Robertson, who always wants a fight as well. I was like, it was pretty much, I'd say it's one of the most enjoyable games I've watched in a long time.
That was amazing.
Or at least the most enjoyable first halves. Like, but second half, I was like, just try and score eight. Like, I hate it when a team goes like 4 or 5-0 up and they're like, we'll leave it. No, try and score 15 goals.
Apparently,
That's what Ferguson's United would have
apparently
done.
Klopp actually told him to like chill off. Like, after they scored five, he was like, let's try and not get any injuries. Like, let's keep control of the game. Because, like we said, they didn't necessarily play the greatest. Like, they didn't actually play that great. They just were very clinical and United were just so poor defensively.
Yeah, I think Jamie Carragher said as much after the game. Like, he was like, that's a once in a 100-year opportunity, isn't it, to try and go for double figures at Old Trafford, basically.
Jesus.
It's just never going to happen again. Like, if it does happen again, then this clip will get pulled up and I'll be forever ridiculed.
This is what they did for the 10-year anniversary of the 6-1. So what are they going to do for the 10-year anniversary of this? Who knows?
Like, yeah, it will be double figures and it will be in the FA Cup against like Barnet or someone.
Arsenal are going to beat them 8-2 at Old Trafford. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. But we have witnessed, like, it is mad. Like, it's one of the Premier League, like, it's Premier League history that, like, it's bigger than 6-1, I think, in some ways, in terms of how calamitous it was. I think 6-1 was massive in terms of, like, the changing of the guard in Manchester.
Yeah, and it was Ferguson. It was Ferguson as well.
But that Man United team still probably should have won the league that season in terms of, like, they had the initiative going into the last couple of months. Whereas this is very much one of those kind of benchmarks of the post Ferguson era.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, like, yeah, just a sign of the gulf between the two teams, despite them having, you know, quite similarly kind of priced squads and whatnot. I still can't quite believe it happened, to be honest. It was so laughingly bad. Like, it was just, yeah, crazy.
I was watching that first half and I was like, I'm not that surprised. Like, I'm just not that surprised. I was actually surprised by how good some of Man United's attacking play was, like how easily they were getting through. But I was kind of like, I was watching it and the commentators were doing that same thing. And I was like, but the reason we find this surprising is because it's Man United at Old Trafford. Mm. Not because it's actually like that shocking given what Man United's defence has been like this season, given what Liverpool's attack has been like this season. Like, I mean, their defence has been bad and they were coming up against Salah, who we've all been saying is in like the form of his life, which is a pretty considerable like spate of form to be in. I don't know. Anyway, like... I'll probably take another week just to enjoy this one. But thank you guys very much for joining me today. I think that we've covered the managerial situation at Man United pretty comprehensively. And to be honest, I am interested to see what happens because I think any one of these managers would do something quite interesting with this United squad. So anyway, before we say goodbye, Sam, is there anything that you'd like to plug?
Snapchat. Just go subscribe if you haven't already. Yeah, that's about it. Let's just keep on praying that Ole keeps his job, you know. As much as we've spoke about who his replacement could be at Manchester United, I would love for him to see out the rest of the season. I think they should just give him to the end of the season.
Yeah, I think it would be great if all the listeners of this could get Ole in trending. That would be really good. McCubbin, what have you got to pump?
Nothing quite on along those lines. But I do have, there's an Antonio Conte video actually that we put out last week.
Which has suddenly
become very popular since everything, unsurprisingly, but it is popping off. So if you haven't already checked that out, I feel like a lot of our fans probably would have, but, if you haven't, go and check that out. It's just, yeah, a slightly more in-depth look at Conte's tactics, whether he'd fit in at United, all the rest of it. So yeah, go and check that out. There's also an explainer on EFD that I wrote last week about Juventus, the rise and fall of them, also featuring Conte quite heavily for obvious reasons. So go and check that as well.
Great. Thanks very much, guys. And thank you to you for watching or listening at home. Obviously, make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel or subscribe to the podcast using your favorite podcast app, and you will see us or hear us next week. Thanks very much. Bye.